Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
One more reason to believe in the authenticity of the Bible. Now, just one more reason to believe in the inerrancy of the Scripture and that he was virgin born. Isaiah, we've looked at Isaiah's prophecy and how 800 years before Jesus Christ was ever born in Bethlehem's manger, Isaiah said that it would happen. So in the book of Galatians chapter number 4, we'll read one verse. So please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Danny, give me a little monitor if you would, please. Seemingly, I've been losing my monitors lately, but just I appreciate it. Thank you. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4. The Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Notice verse 5. "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Our Father, Lord, we bow tonight again saying we love you. We're grateful, Lord, for your saving grace. We're grateful, Father, for the message of Christmas, for the birth of our Savior, for the virgin birth of our Savior. And God, we're grateful that indeed he died 33 years later for our sins. He rose again, Lord, after 3 days. And Lord, right now he's at the right hand of God the Father. And Lord, we are grateful for his intercession in our lives. So, Father, may you bless the reading of your word, and may you encourage your people. Save that one, Lord, tonight that may not be saved. Touch the heart of your kids that may be out of fellowship with you, for we pray this in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you. May be seated. Christmas through the eyes of Jesus. What do we know about Jesus Christ? Well, we've looked at a lot of things. Brother Stephen, of course, read the great passage in the book of Luke, chapter number 2, where it talks about and really sums up for us that night in Bethlehem's manger. It sums up the fact that a decree, a census had been taken. And it was, you know, and it's amazing how God, hear me for a minute. It's amazing how God, even in the first century, can use a government to accomplish his will and purpose. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have a God that's in control tonight. Amen. We have a God that was in control, absolutely in control, the night of the birth of our Lord. You say, yeah, but preacher, why would God allow Jesus to be born in such a way? I'll tell you why God allowed it, because God planned it. God planned it, and God's word declared how he would be born. It declared where he would be born. It declared every aspect of his birth. Now, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, Galatians tells us and Paul tells us some things about Jesus that I hope will encourage you tonight. Notice number one, if you want to take notes, very brief thoughts, just some simple thoughts, but I pray God to use them tonight because really the Lord's arrested my heart with some thoughts that really are kind of new to me, not because it isn't new as far as in the Bible, just kind of new to me and some thoughts that really jumped out at me over these last couple of days. We notice, first of all, that Jesus was given by the Father. We've looked much, even in Isaiah's prophecy, where Isaiah told us, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." We know that Jesus Christ, on the authority of God's word, long before Jesus was ever born, a baby in Bethlehem's manger, ladies and gentlemen, he was God in heaven. Amen? He was God in heaven. And literally what had to take place for Jesus to be born, God literally had to step from his throne, come down into this sin-cursed world, confine himself to the womb of a virgin girl, and be born some 9 months later. That's what God did. And the amazing thing about that, God gave us the greatest Christmas gift ever given was when God gave his Son for a lost and dying world. He gave it him in his virgin birth. We know his virtuous life. We know his vicarious death and the fact that Jesus vicariously, he died for us. That's what it means. He died in our place. His victorious resurrection and the fact that Jesus, the grave could not hold him, and Jesus rose again 3 days later. You know, I hope and pray that we never, ever, ever in our lives allow that message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to become kind of cliche. Just to become something that just kind of flows off our lips and just we really don't think much about it. Let me slow it down a little bit for you, okay? And I want to slow it down even for myself and pray that God will use us. Let me remind you of something. Jesus Christ was virgin born. Amen? He lived a virtuous life, sinless. They say, preacher, why is that important? You know why it's important. We've talked much about that. Because had Jesus sinned one time, he would have disqualified himself from being Savior. You know what it was like to grow up? You know, it's amazing to me that Jesus, now I'm not saying this irreverently, but I'm just saying that humanly speaking, it's amazing to me that Jesus Christ, as a baby, he grew through his toddler years. Boy, they're really sinners when they're toddlers, amen? All the grandparents are like, oh, your grandbabies are wicked, okay? Sinful, wicked creatures. And unless Jesus gets a hold of them, there's no hope. I'm telling you. Oh, grandparents, they're like, preacher, you have insulted us. But just stay with me for a minute. Jesus comes through his toddler years, and then he continues on, and then he's in the tween years before he's a teenager, and then he hits the teenage years. You realize Jesus didn't sin one time in his teenage years? That's a miracle in itself, is it not? Why? Because teenagers are crazy. It's proven psychologically. I learned about this last year. Not fully developed up here. So the good thing about that, you can do the things you do, and people say, well, you're just a teenager. When you do them when you're an adult, they're like, well, they're just a crazy adult. But Jesus comes through his teenage years, he never sinned one time. He comes through his 20s, he never sinned one time. He comes into his 30s, into even at 33 years, 33 and a half years. Literally, he never sinned one time. Wow. Isn't that incredible? You say, preacher, yeah, but he was God. You're right. But he was also man, Brother Stephen. Why do you think that the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus Christ, speaking of Christ, our high priest, we've been looking at this, speaking of Jesus as our high priest that has gone into the heavens, that's passed into the heavens, the Bible says he was in all points tempted like as we are. Let me ask you a personal question. You ever been tempted? I'm not going to embarrass you by having you raise your hand, but I would raise my hand. Have you ever been tempted? You know what it says about Jesus? He was in all points tempted like as we are. But here's the difference between Jesus and us. Yet without sin. Jesus didn't sin one time. See, God gave us his son. But I want to show you something else. And I really think God may use this to encourage you. Go with me now to the book of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. Some of you are saying, preacher, you said you'd be done before 8 o'clock. That's only if you get to Mark, chapter 6. Okay? Page 829. If you got a Bible like mine or one close, you can get there close. Let me show you something else. And this is really what's kind of grabbed a hold of me in the last couple of days. I was telling Brother Stephen, Brother Jonathan, I was telling my wife even today some thoughts that God just really spoke to me about. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, but please understand this, and this is something that some denominations teach contrary to what the Bible teaches. Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus, but ladies and gentlemen, Mary and Joseph went on to have more children. There's a doctrine that is taught in some denomination, I believe they teach what's called perpetual virginity. Meaning that Mary stayed a virgin and could, all the way to her death. But ladies and gentlemen, we do not have Bible to support that. On the contrary, we have Bible to say and prove that that is a lie. She had children. As a matter of fact, on the authority of the Bible, Jesus had minimally, at a minimum, six brothers and sisters. Look at the text in Mark chapter 6. The Bible says, and he went out from thence and came into his own country. And his disciples follow, and his disciples follow him. Now again, he's going back home. He's going back to where he was raised. It'd be like me going back to Claryville, Kentucky. That's where I was raised, and my friends that knew me there. And every now and then when I go back home to my home church or back in that area, people remember me and we'll talk and just stories. And you can imagine. So he's going back home. And the Bible tells us, verse 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, Jesus was Jewish, so he goes into the Sabbath. He goes to the synagogues, the temple. He goes in there. It's natural for him to do that. It's a natural thing that him and his family had done. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Jesus Christ was a phenomenal teacher. He was an incredible preacher. He captivated people with his speaking, with his words. They said, preacher, we know why, because he was God in the flesh. And if there's ever anyone that could tell us what the word means, it was Jesus. On the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapter encompasses three chapters, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus Christ preaches that the greatest sermon ever preached. And at the end of that sermon, the Bible tells us that they were astonished at his teaching. And why was that? Because Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. So Jesus was a phenomenal speaker. He was a phenomenal preacher, a tremendous preacher, very effective in his preaching. And look at the text, though. Verse 3. So some questions begin to arise. He's gone back home. He's gone back to the temple or the synagogue. And the Bible tells us, verse 3, is not this, here's a question they ask, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Now, why would Jesus have been a carpenter? Because Joseph was a carpenter. And it was customary that for every son born in a home, he would learn the trade of his father. Of course, we know that Joseph wasn't his real father. He was the man that God used to raise Jesus and rear Jesus. And in my opinion, and I really think this is biblical truth, in my opinion, I believe that Jesus Christ was raised in a godly home. You say, preacher, that's kind of silly to make that statement. No, because one thing we have to understand, that Mary and Joseph were real people. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we can take the human element out of the story. But let's not do that. The Bible tells us, so they say, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Now notice verse 3. The brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? So we know he had four brothers, but the Bible says he had sisters. He doesn't name the sisters. That's the way it ought to be. Amen. Especially when you had sisters like I had grown up. My sister Shelly used to beat me up. She was the oldest. And when my mom would leave, when we were little kids, when my mom would leave the house or whatever they were doing, as my sister got older, I'm 41. She's got to be 85, something like that. I think she's like 4 years older than me. Well, when you're 6 years old and your sister's 10 or 11, she's the big boss of the place, and she made sure we knew that growing up. Well, the only problem about this, I was raised, there ain't no woman going to tell me what to do till you get married. But anyway, there ain't no woman going to tell me what to do. And my sister Shelly wasn't one that was going to do it. The only problem with that was she was meaner than I was, and she beat me up. True story. So I'm grateful that the Lord doesn't give us the name of his sisters, because probably there was a sister like Shelly that may have been a little mean in the text. Just a thought. But Jesus grew, so he was given by the Father. But second of all, know something else. He was raised by a family. He was raised with Mary and Joseph, if you will, as far as the world was concerned, mom and dad. He had brothers and sisters, and oh, by the way, he was the oldest of the siblings. You know, it's as the oldest of the siblings, how many of you are the first child here? How many of you are the middle child here? Middle goes along with favorite. You know that, right? But no, how many of you are the baby here? You know what's bad about that? Some of you raise your hand three times. You're still confused. Only child. You know, when you're the first child, when you grow older, you realize that there's 1,000 pictures of you as the first child. I mean, they've got pictures. I don't care if you spit up. Your first spit up, they took a picture of it. Ashley, when she got a head full of hair when she was a baby. True story. And Ashley's still in therapy right now because of this. But when Ashley was a baby, she was little. How old? 6 months? When she used to pull her own hair? Yeah, you block that out, right? My wife loves taking pictures. Ashley's holding her hair. She's screaming at the top of her lungs. And Les's like, wait. She runs in the bedroom, grabs a camera, and she comes out and she takes a picture of it. True story. We got 1,000 pictures of Ashley. Cameron came along, middle child, all you middle children. If Ashley had 1,000 pictures taken of her, Cameron may have had 150. Right? Because now it's expensive to get pictures. How many of you are the last child, the baby? Toby's got 2 pictures taken of him. And the funny thing is, we probably took 2 of them, but all of you know, all of you babies that are the baby, you take pictures of Toby for us and give them to us, Terry and Adrian, and we appreciate that. And but the point is, so Jesus, so keep it in the backdrop of a family dynamic. And I'm going to show you something. I believe the Lord really, really spoke to my heart about. I want to show you some thoughts out of these verses. So Jesus, he was given by the Father. He was raised by a family, a mom and a dad, brothers and sisters. He was the oldest sibling. He died at 33 and a half years of age. We know death didn't hold him, but humanly speaking, he died at 33 years of age, roughly. If Mary had a baby every year and a half, 2 years, if she had a child every couple of years, humanly, that would have made Jesus his youngest sibling at probably early 20s. Now, say she didn't, we don't know. He said, preacher, but we don't know how many years were apart. And we know, and I'm not trying to be extra biblical. I'm just trying to show you the backdrop of being raised in a family. Also, keep in mind some things about Jesus Christ. As far as the world was concerned, they didn't believe the story of Mary and Joseph. Stay with me. The Jews especially didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. The Jews especially didn't believe no more than Jesus was just simply a carpenter. And honestly, in some references, they called him the carpenter's son. Stay with me also. Jesus grew up in an environment, in his culture. He's back home now. He's back in his hometown. Humanly speaking, do you think there would have been some in that community that would have remembered him? You think there may have been some in that community that would have remembered Mary and Joseph, and they would have said to themselves, oh, that's Mary and Joseph. She was engaged, betrothed. She was engaged to Joseph when she got pregnant. That Jesus, to some, was no more than a child that was conceived out of wedlock. To some, Jesus was no more just a carpenter's son. Maybe they called him the carpenter's son just, I don't know necessarily. Maybe he wasn't to them a great, I don't know. Maybe he wasn't a great carpenter. But the point is, to some, he was no more than just this little boy who now had been grown up a little bit. He's teaching in the temple. And people are astonished, but then they remembered something. Wait a minute. Hold it. That's just Mary and Joseph's boy. He's the oldest of a minimum of six children. He's the oldest, and if you will, there's nothing special about him. He'd have grew up in a very prejudiced environment. He would have grew up around, this is his hometown now. What would happen if you went home? You see, I grew up in a little town of Claryville, Kentucky. I did things I'm not proud of before God saved me. I played in the local tavern as a young kid. We had got our big gig, and we were going to really play in a weekend thing. God saved me, changed my life, and thanks be unto God, I abandoned that garbage. But my point is, that's the backdrop. Maybe Jesus, to some, he had never, listen, to some, Jesus had never outgrown his start. To some, Jesus had never outgrown his beginning. His beginning to some was questionable. His beginning to some was scarred. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was raised in the dynamics of a family. Look at verse 4. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet, look at this now. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and Joseph? Look what Jesus says. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. You know, and I've heard this verse, I've heard this verse quoted, and that's where most times I've heard a quote, that's where it stops. But look at the rest of the verse. Jesus says, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. Jesus said, here's what Jesus said. There's some, you don't believe who I am in this city. There's some of my own relatives that don't believe I am who I am. There's some in my own household that do not believe there's anything special about me. You know, James, his brother, didn't get saved till after the resurrection of Christ. So in that backdrop, Jesus Christ comes into this world. He comes on the scene. He's virgin born. But to most people, they didn't believe that. To some, I mean, the Bible declared that God sent forth his son. To most, he was just a baby born out of wedlock, conceived out of wedlock. To some, he was just no more than the oldest son of a carpenter. To some, he's just the older brother. To some, he's just the favorite with all the pictures about him. To some, stay with me, to some, he's no more than a mom and dad saying, maybe, can't you be like your brother? Maybe that's why Jesus said, a prophet's not without honor, but in his own house. Why? He said, preacher, what's the point of that? Of course we know, and for time we know, that Jesus Christ was indeed who he said he was. He was given by the Father. Christmas through the eyes of Jesus Christ, given by the Father, raised by a family. As Jesus, we know he didn't stay a baby in Bethlehem's manger. He went on to live a sinless and perfect life. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, he lived that sinless and perfect life in the backdrop of a lot of stereotype, a lot of prejudice, a lot of gossip, a lot of talking, backbiting, a lot of accusation. Do you think people made accusations? Sure they did. Absolutely. You know why? Because they're humans. And people still do that today. And they did that in Jesus' day. So Jesus was raised by a family. But now turn all the way to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter number 5. Man, there's so much more we would say, but we want to quit at 8 o'clock. You say, preacher, it's 8:06. No, that clock's wrong. That's not set by the national clock, okay? So just stay with me. He was given by the Father. He was raised by a family. But last of all, he was resurrected to secure your future. Jesus came out of the grave for a reason. He came out of the grave for a reason. Of course, we know he fulfilled God's plan for his life. But he also came out of the grave. And because he came out of the grave alive, he has the power to secure your salvation. And this is how he does it. through saving you, through salvation. And that comes when you repent of your sin, because the Bible declares you're a sinner. You repent of your sin and by faith believe that Christ died, was buried, and he rose again. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 5, and I know I have family members that are silly. They'll say, ooh, I'm scared to read the book of Revelation. Don't be scared to read the book of Revelation. Now, be careful reading the book of Revelation. Don't go to seed on a lot of things, if you will, that you'll get all messed up on, because there's a lot of typology in the book of Revelation. But the premise of this, the whole theme of the book of Revelation is Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, Jesus is the theme of the whole Bible. And if you read the Bible with the backdrop that Jesus being the focal point and Jesus being the theme of it, that helps you as far as in your interpretation of Scripture. But in Revelation chapter 5, John now has been caught up in chapter 4. He's been caught up, which is a picture of the rapture. He's now in heaven. God's allowing him to see this vision and glimpse of heaven in all of its glory. And he started in verse number chapter 4. He come up hither, verse 2 of chapter 4, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, Revelation 4, 2. So now he's looking at the throne, one sitting on the throne. Now skip down to chapter 5 and verse number 7. We're continuing on. The focus is on the throne. And he came and took the book, verse 7, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb. The Lamb is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. The Lamb is none other than who John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lord God, the Lamb that was sent by God, the sent Son that God sent into the world. This is who we're talking about now. He's now in heaven, verse 8. The Bible says the 24 elders, verse 8, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Look at verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? Why are you worthy, Lamb? Why are you worthy, Jesus, to do this? For thou, look at verse 9, thou wast slain. That's the crucifixion. Thou wast slain. That's the cross. And hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're born again tonight, you're in verse 9. You're there. If you're born again tonight, knowing Christ as your Savior, you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Songwriter said it best. We've been redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ the Lord. So Jesus, given by the Father, Jesus raised by a family, but ladies and gentlemen, he was resurrected after shedding his blood, dying on the cross of Calvary. He was resurrected to secure your future. And if you have him as Savior, what a day it's going to be when we're gathered around his throne, worshiping our Lord, laying our crowns at his feet. What a glorious day that's going to be. And I know to some, maybe to some even sitting in this room, to some that aspect almost seems like a fairy tale. But ladies and gentlemen, on the authority of the Bible, it's going to happen. Amen? We're going to see Jesus one of these days. What a day that's going to be. John saw him. He saw him in all of his glory. And what a day it's going to be when you and I see him. Christmas through the eyes of Jesus Christ. What a story. What a remarkable, remarkable story. His virgin birth, his absolute, pure, perfect, sinless life, his death, dying for sinners, his resurrection, securing our salvation in God, securing our future, having our sins forgiven. What a glorious, glorious Savior we have in Jesus Christ the Lord. Tell everybody you know about this Savior. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Stephen's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you'll respond. Maybe in the matter of salvation. Maybe you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior. Friend, why not tonight? Why not trust Jesus tonight? Why not repent right now and believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'm just not where I need to be. Well, you know what? Right there in the quietness of your pew, would you not recommit your life to Jesus? Maybe you'd like to come to the altar and just commit your life to Christ. Whatever you need to do, you come as we say.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.